GOB 64, listing to one side. Somewhere wreathed in mist and hidden by a time vortex is the schism that divides those who need to note their observations and those who are happy just to observe. Like loving or hating manga, musicals and Marmite, you either love to list or are completely unable to understand why people bother. The obsession may be a relative of the collecting bug. There are those whose minimalist lives have no use for old theatre programmes or stamp album, let alone a lawn infested with gnomes or a wall covered in frog-shaped teapots. They would stare open-mouthed at a five-year-old collecting bus tickets or an anorak-clad cove, noting down the number of the train that they're taking to work. I am, by inclination, on the listing side of one of human nature's grand canyons. I guess I need to collect sightings just as, when a boy, I needed to collect matchbox covers, stamps and coins. I once even had a world-class collection of cigarette packets, which I guess today would just be a series of blank paper adorned with health warnings. When I started birding seriously as a teenager, my diaries were full of lists of birds with life as underlined, year record circled and county newbies marked in red. I progressed from RSPB grey-covered printed lists to a series of bird watchers' logbooks, replete with every sighting noted, primitively sketched, and everything from the weather and the state of the tide to my sandwich fillings and the books I'd just read put down in detail. I had summer lists and winter lists, year lists and patch lists, county lists and British lists, all of which are as useful, in general terms, as last year's railway timetable. Even the most avid fellow lister would deign only to give a passing glance. Some are lost in abandoned attics, and a few still cram the top shelves of my study, looked at seldom and in private like a serial killer's trophies. Like many things that passing time erodes, the urgency of listing wanes. Most of us grow out of binge drinking and obscure music, fashion following and TV soaps. I seem to be growing out of collecting and listing. My stamp album is in a forgotten corner, and just about everything else I ever hoarded has been car-booted, charity-shopped, or chucked in a recycling bin. However, I cannot quite wipe the slate clean. My world list may not be growing much, but is constantly reshuffled to accommodate taxonomic change. I've resolved to go to Devon this year to look for a searle bunting, as it's not on my stagnated UK list, ignored because it sits somewhere on my old world one. My county list will continue to be maintained and might grow, as I do very occasionally twitch a world or UK life if it turns up in my county. Nevertheless, I still keep a year list. Year lists are different, an incentive to see the same old. Somehow, the fact that it is annually renewed remains an incentive, and every year I set out to ensure there are 100 species or more on it by the end of January. When a blackbird or a blue tit is desperately needed for a day or two, there seems point to listing after all. Sadly, that need seems to lessen each month, and by the end of February, the list may only have been extended by a bird or five. I guess the driving force must be novelty. Each January, the commonplace is novel for that year. I may have put listing to one side, but the need for novelty, to see something new, something you've never seen before, is hardwired into the human brain. Knowing what I have seen makes it easier to target seeing what I've never seen before.